Good morning, everybody. My wake-up call at the hotel said it would be 70 degrees today and rainy, so I'm not sure what that's about. I'm glad you showed up. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Matt Christman and Dr. Julie Ann Sager. I have no financial disclosures to make. And the funding source for this was the University of Iowa Prevention Research Center for Rural Health, which is funded by the CDC. The BSE epidemic has led to a lot of interest in the social and physical environments and how those relate to nutrition, as well as different forms of media that might be in that environment, including newspapers. And rural areas in particular have higher rates of obesity, and they also have unique environments, including their media environments and newspapers as well. The local newspapers might be an important vehicle then for reaching this population with nutrition information. According to an Iowa Newspaper Association survey, 86% of rural adult Iowans read a local newspaper each week. So local newspapers are still an important source of food and nutrition information for this population. Newspaper editors are the key decision makers in terms of the content of these newspapers. The rural local newspapers tend to have very few staff and little or no training in health reporting. There have been a few previous studies about media and their content related to nutrition, and it's been found that they tend to be limited in terms of the topics that they cover. They tend to mention unhealthy foods more often. They oversimplify nutrition concepts, and they are often not informed by expert sources. So to influence rural newspapers to include a greater number of and more accurate stories about healthy eating, it's essential to understand the perspectives of these editors. This study was guided by social cognitive theory, and in particular, the triadic determinants of person, in this case, looking at knowledge, attitudes, self-efficacy, and outcome expectations, behavior, looking at decision-making and information-seeking, and then the environment, looking at institutional and social factors. Hypotheses were that editors would be interested in learning more about at least some aspects of writing nutrition-related stories, and that structural factors such as time or column space might be the most important barriers to writing such stories. All procedures for this study were approved by the University of Iowa IRB. To select newspapers, we started with the Iowa Newspaper Association database of newspapers, which is online. And we excluded non-rural counties, that is those with a population of greater than 50,000, leaving 256 newspapers from 88 counties. There are 99 counties in Iowa, so we're still covering a large area of the state. There were cases where the same editor was listed for multiple newspapers, so in that case, we took the first alphabetically listed newspaper. We also excluded newspapers where no editor was listed and one that was put out by a farm organization. So in the end, it resulted in a selection of 15 dailies and 151 weeklies for a total of 166 newspapers. An introductory letter was mailed to the editors, and that explained the study and included the elements of consent. And the letter stated that an email would be sent to them within approximately 10 days that would have a link to a survey, and that this would be followed up by up to 2 reminder emails. The editors were asked to contact us if they did not want to receive any emails. And then after completing the survey, they would receive a check of $20. As we developed the items for this survey, we started with a review of relevant literature, which is actually very scant. Once you narrow it down to rural communities and then newspapers, there's almost nothing. But we tried to look at what we could find on that. We also conducted a series of semi-structured interviews with 4 rural newspaper editors. And then from that, developed some questions that we entered into Qualtrics. And these were reviewed online in an online format by 2 other editors and then 2 journalism professors who had experience working as editors. And they looked at the face and content validity and ease of use. Our final version included 34 questions. So we looked at age, gender, education level, race, and ethnicity, whether they received training on health reporting, their years of experience as a reporter, editor, the number of employees at the newspaper, and how many of those would potentially write nutrition-related stories. We looked at newspaper circulation and the type of newspaper. This was obtained from that INA website for respondents and non-respondents. And gender for non-respondents was assumed from the first name or a Google image search. In terms of general attitudes, we had two questions. How important is it to have nutrition stories in your newspaper? And how interested are readers in nutrition stories? Outcome expectations measured with three separate items. This was not a scale. How likely is it that your stories will cause readers to eat healthier? And then two opinion questions. I'm encouraged by readers to include nutrition-related stories, and most readers respond positively to stories about healthy eating, with a strongly disagree to strongly agree scale. Self-efficacy was addressed in five different items, and all of them starting with the stem, how confident are you in your ability to? So these were interpreting a news release containing results from a nutrition-related study, localizes national or state story about healthy eating, write stories covering community events that are designed to encourage healthy eating, write about local or state policies related to healthy eating, and finding accurate nutrition information that can be included in the stories that you write. We also asked about their interest in learning more, and we used all those same five categories in this MS. They were not at all interested, a little, moderately, or very interested in learning more. We asked how likely they were to attend a free webinar about how to write accurate nutrition stories and how to localize them, and what their preferred format might be for that kind of a program. We asked how often do you use the following sources for nutrition stories: the local state health department, hospital and clinic, wire service, colleges and universities, and government websites. And how often do you actively seek health-related stories? How often do you actively seek nutrition-related stories? And finally, in an open-ended question, what challenges do you see in reporting on healthy eating? The data were downloaded from Qualtrics and analyzed with SPSS, and there were no missing data. Quantitative data were analyzed with the descriptive statistics, chi-square, t-test as appropriate. We made comparisons between respondents and non-respondents where we had data for both. The qualitative data, which was mostly very short answers, were reviewed by two researchers for themes, and a consensus was reached on those. Of the 166 introductory letters that were mailed out, five returned as undeliverable. There were no emails returned as undeliverable. One person did ask us not to send them an email, and one person actually contacted us to make sure we had the right email address because she really wanted to do the survey. 51 surveys were actually completed in the end, and that represents a 32% response rate. The average time for completion, according to the Qualtrics software, is 9 minutes. And we found no significant differences between respondents and non-respondents in terms of gender, the type of newspaper, or their circulation. All the respondents were non-Hispanic white. And as you can see, the average age was around 47. And we had approximately even split between men and women. Only one person said they had just a high school degree. But not surprisingly, most of them had at least a four-year degree, and a few had more than that. And then only one person said they had any kind of other training in health reporting. These were pretty experienced editors. Their average years of working was around 18 years. The number of employees at their newspaper was about 9-10. And the number of those who could actually write a nutrition story was around 2. So typically it's the editor and maybe one other person who's writing stories in these newspapers. Average circulation was close to 2,500, and most of these were weekly newspapers. So 94% stated that it was somewhat or very important to have stories about healthy eating in newspapers, which is encouraging, and 100% indicated that readers are somewhat or very interested in the topic of healthy eating. 88% said it is somewhat or very likely that their stories about nutrition would encourage readers to eat healthier. 80% agreed or strongly agreed that most readers respond positively to stories about healthy eating. And in contrast, only 43% said they agreed with the statement, "I am encouraged by readers to include nutrition-related stories." Nobody strongly agreed with that. So most of them were disagreeing with that, that they have active encouragement to do this. On the self-efficacy items, I've highlighted the highs and the lows here. They were most confident in their ability to write stories covering community events designed to encourage healthy eating. You can see 84% said they were very confident in doing that, and the least confident about writing about local or state policies related to healthy eating. Only about 39% said they were very confident in their ability to do that, and the rest of them fall in between. On all these same items, looking at level of interest in different topics, these were very close together. There are not a lot of big differences across these items. But they were least interested in learning how to interpret a news release from a nutrition-related study, and most interested in finding accurate nutrition information for the stories that they write. So 69% indicated they would be somewhat or very interested in attending a free webinar about writing accurate stories related to healthy eating. They endorsed pretty much all of the formats that we had suggested, and there was another category. Nobody wrote anything in there. But as you can see, the most commonly endorsed one was documents with summarized information, but the rest of them were pretty well endorsed as well. Looking at the sources of stories about healthy eating, the most common source are local hospitals or clinic, okay, and the least common in these rural newspapers is the wire service. And then the rest of them are falling in between. So 88% said they occasionally or very often seek out health-related topics to cover in their stories, and 64% said they occasionally or very often seek out nutrition-related topics. In the open-ended question about challenges in reporting about healthy eating, they mentioned inadequate space in the newspaper, inadequate staff to be able to write stories, that it wasn't always a priority because of space and staff. Also, lack of demand on the part of readers for stories about nutrition and healthy eating. Difficulty localizing stories with a human interest angle. And also the need to avoid offending advertisers and local agricultural businesses. One of them mentioned the pink slime issue in particular, and that was difficult for them to write about that. So in conclusion, the editors seem to think that healthy eating is an important topic, which is encouraging, and they feel fairly confident in their ability to report on the subject. But many editors also indicated interest in improving their skills and their knowledge on this. There have been a couple other studies on this, finding the lack of training that we found in health reporting, and also a general interest in issue-specific training for editors. So the results suggest that training should address sources of accurate nutrition information, ways to write brief and accurate stories that would not offend business interests, and ways to localize state or national stories. This training obviously should be pilot tested to fine-tune what they would really like in terms of format and content. Our limitations were somewhat small sample size, although they did seem to be representative in terms of the type of newspaper and gender, at least. The results may not generalize to other regions, and interest in the educational program might vary on some factors that we didn't measure here. In the meantime, aside from the training issue, public health practitioners and researchers should provide concise press releases about their activities, understanding the space limitations. They should express strong and sincere appreciation when these and other health-promoting stories are actually published, so that becomes maybe more of a priority, and encourage the general public to do that, too, to offer their appreciation, and also to offer expertise to editors when state or national stories could be localized. And I guess we're taking questions at the end, so thank you.